We've been through a little bit around here, but we refuse to quit. Amen?
Amen.
We're not going to quit. Because it's so devastating to us if we do. And I'm not talking about this fellowship. I'm talking about being believers. This is just a building. Amen?
Amen.
Just a building sitting on land that's very expensive. Just thought I would throw that in. We are part of the body of Christ. We are one with our brothers and sisters throughout the world.
Amen.
Amen. We really are. Well, they don't go to our church. Well, that's okay. We are still one of them. Well, I don't want to be. How many of you know you don't have a choice?
Yes.
Did you have a choice when you were born into the family you came to? You did not. We don't have a choice. We choose. We choose to relate to all of our family, and in most cases, that means that we have to grow up a little bit and find ways of relating to people that don't relate to us so well. Amen?
Amen.
Can we find ways of saying things differently with a softer tone of voice? Can we find ways of saying things that don't put people off but make room for them to relate to us? We can. It's part of the nature of Christ. Well, I'm glad there is potluck. Are we done yet, Rio? I love the potluck. It's the fifth Sunday. Is that what happened? This one just happened. Last week you all got up and said, we're going to have one, and that's it. That's great. It's a great addition to fellowship. It really gives us something to look forward to, no matter what's going on behind the pulpit. There's that potluck that's coming. We look forward to that. I want to share to you, with you, with all the ships at sea that Brother Rio has lined up there, all those that are watching, and they are watching. Not just my family members, but they are watching. Hello, Mom. Usually on Tuesday or Wednesday, we discuss what goes down on Sunday, my mother and I. And we keep her in prayer. No big deal, Mom. She's adjusting to the passing of my father 6 months down the road. And so sometimes it takes a while for things to set in on us. And so we keep her in prayer and others. I have a complex thought that I want to make so simple. And I ask God to help me. Dear Lord, help me by the power of the Spirit just to share simply your truth. Because it's your truth that will help us and heal us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Exodus 34. Verse 12. There was a man who used to go to this fellowship. Used to be in Harry and Joyce's wedding, I think, or was in their wedding. John Wilkinson. Was he in your wedding? I think so. If he wasn't, he should have been. He used to attend here for a while. And years ago, he said something to me when we were in Great Falls. He's a man who grew up in Great Falls and went to churches way back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and the 70s, whatever. He said, if there's one thing I've seen, is that the church always follows the world in the movement that it goes through. How many of you remember the Nero jackets? Were you ever in church when in the 60s, late 60s, when all of a sudden we had to wear what? Nero, is that how you say it?
Nehru.
Were you there when you had the dickie thing? Remember when you had everybody had to wear the dickies, front and back? We had to do it in church. It is not necessarily wrong by itself that we follow the world. It's not wrong because the world does it. The wrong, you notice I don't have a tie on today. I'm following Joe. Figure if he cannot wear a tie, so can I. It's not necessarily wrong that we follow the trends of the world in and of themselves. We're in a culture in America. we follow, we live in the American culture. Things affect us that are within our culture. But can I tell you this morning, in the name of Jesus, the world does not know where they're going.
Amen.
They may be pursuing where they're going with all of the integrity that they have, and we salute that. But without the spirit of truth, the world does not know where they're going, and so there we are, what? Following the world that doesn't know where they're going.
Yeah.
Hoping it's going to all work out. Hoping that we'll be accepted in the world of the Christians and the world of Belt, Great Falls, etc. Verse 12 of chapter 34, be very, very careful never to compromise with the people in the land where you are going. For if you do, you will soon be following their evil ways. Not us. No, us. Instead, you must break down their heathen altars, smash the, say this word for me, obelisks, say that. I knew you smarties would know how to say it. There's one thing that bugs Taylor, are these obelisks. So smash these things that they worship and cut down their shameful idols. For you must worship no other god but only Jehovah. For he is a god who claims absolute loyalty and exclusive devotion, which is a way of saying in the King James, he is a jealous god. Well, all right, then. Have you ever known anybody jealous? David? Have you ever known anybody jealous?
No.
Let me just talk about this for a minute. Who hasn't known somebody jealous? And now I ask, who hasn't been jealous? How could it be that a noble God could be jealous? How could it be that this God that we've heard all of our life is so wonderful? How could he be jealous? Well, he is. Can I just start there? He is that he is. How jealous? Well, a little bit. Yeah, he has a bad day once in a while. Boom. How opening to our understanding of life when we can comprehend that our God is jealous for us. 100% jealous in his heart. Jealous that we serve him. I don't want to serve anybody. They made me come to church. I know that. But there comes a time in our Christian walk where what we were maybe made to do as children, it turns over and we desire to do it. And it becomes meat and joy to our life. The kingdom of God becomes righteousness, peace, and joy. It becomes a joy to serve God. Somewhere down the line.
Amen. Yes.
And if it doesn't, then it's not God's fault. We're serving somebody other than God. That's the problem. We get hooked up, we get involved, and we're serving. Maybe it's all a swirling smoothie. I'm starting to drink smoothies these days, so my mind's on smoothie right now. I don't know what's in them exactly. Does anybody? At least not the McDonald's one. Sugar, I think. God is jealous 100% of the time for us. He's jealous that we be the lover, that he be the lover of our souls, that he satisfies us from top to bottom, that we have no need other than him. And yet, is that still, the water's still running, huh? I was looking at the stream going by. That's okay. We'll leave that. And yet, the Bible says here, be careful not to go where they go or to follow them. I hate that. I really do. I hated being raised in a Christian family. I did. Sorry. I hated I couldn't watch Walt Disney. I hated I had to be in church three times every week. I hated I missed the Beatles. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, a really big shoe. Well, my dad said, we're out of here, we're going to church. I said, you didn't tell my dad you didn't want to go to church. You didn't even look like you didn't want to go to church. You put a smile on your face and, well, the time will come when I won't go to church. They won't make me. And then the time comes where you need, what's that? The fellowship. You need the Spirit of the living God. Amen. In your life. Amen. And they can't hold you back. Beatles or no Beatles. Romans 12. One. My very fancy Living Bible. So, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living sacrifice, holy, the kind he can accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Verse number two, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how his ways will really satisfy you. Here's the message. Potluck is ready. If we can wade through the swamp and the forest and all of the religious stuff and come into the presence of Christ, we will be satisfied. Right. Not for a moment, but perpetually, continually, forever and ever and ever and ever. He does not wear down. He does not get old. Well, I've heard this sermon, I've read all that Bible through 100 times. I was interested in what Pastor Harry told me 3 or 4 months ago. He said, I was reading something in the Old Testament. I've never seen that before, he said. That's God opening up things continually in his word. Right. God is alive. And he works with us to open up the newness and the freshness of God. What we desire here, 3 miles north of Belt, is for the presence of the Lord just simply to be in what we do and what we say. Right. And that we don't lose and waste time being religious or lose and waste time circling around and doing this, that, and the other thing. But oh, to be satisfied deep within, to be perpetually satisfied by the Spirit. The only way we can do it is to, whatever we have to do to bring the presence of the Lord with us. We bring the sacrifice of praise then, we worship. We gather together, where 2 or 3 of us get together, he is in the midst of us. We declare his word, his Spirit rises to honor his word. We praise him with our songs and worship. His Spirit rises to honor those things. Then the Spirit of the living God is with us. That is what satisfies perpetually, always and forever.
Right.
And there is nothing you can do to increase that. Amen. We're going to help God out. God completely satisfies us, but we have a better plan. A little bit of hot sauce here and there. I understand that. And hot sauce in our worship time is not bad in and of itself. It becomes bad when we exchange the presence of the Lord for that hot sauce. For something novel. For something splashy. That's when it becomes bad. We need the presence of the Lord.
Right.
Oh, I've got to take, just like I'm looking at a big pie and I just got to take one piece out of it and stop. Exodus chapter 1. The Egyptians having problems, too many Jews. No matter what they did, the Jewish population in Israel grew and grew and grew and grew. And they said, we got to stop these guys. No matter what we do, the population grows. And so, as a type of what happened in Jesus' life, foretelling even Christ's situation, the rulers said, we got this idea. Let's throw the boys into the River Nile. Well, that's a pretty hard message there, Pastor. I know it is, but it's truth. This is how we will stop them. We will throw the boys that the new Jewish youth, the new Israeli youth, we will throw the boys into the River Nile. Anybody know anything about the River Nile? Well, I looked it up. I Googled it. It's a nasty river, the River Nile. It's a dangerous river, the River Nile. Of all the rivers, including the Sun River, little joke, that you could jump into or be thrown into, the River Nile is the worst. Filled with 10 different types of venomous snakes. Take your life in a moment. Filled with man-eating spiders. How many of you are into spiders? I just do not see one right now. Crocodiles, spiders, snakes, crocodiles, diseases, mosquitoes that give you malaria, give you sickness. The River Nile. That's interesting. You got that river up. That's pretty good, Taylor. I give you good for that. The River Nile, with all its diseases, had a strange effect on people. It made them dehydrated. Now somebody tell me this. How can you be dehydrated when you're in the midst of a river? You scientifically minded people, you. It's one of the biggest problems of the River Nile is dehydration. Because things are so slimy you can't drink the water. Hello? I did that once coming back from, where was it? Somewhere in Mexico. All I had was one drink in the airport, out of the faucet, right up to the doctor when I got back. You can't drink the water down there. At least you shouldn't, I shouldn't have. This River Nile is full of bad stuff. So the Egyptians said, let's throw the boys into the River Nile. But the midwives who were taking care of things like that, they kept hiding the boys from the rulers. And finally the ruler said, hey, what's going on? We're not getting any. They said, well, the Israeli ladies, they're so fast in delivery, is what it says. And then it says, the Egyptian ladies are slow. That one must have went off a big. We can't get to them. This morning, can I simply ask the Lord to present this picture? We are both, as the body of Christ, we're both being thrown into the river and volunteering to jump in. In much of what's going on in the body of Christ, worldwide, and in our world. We follow. You know that picture of the little lemmings? Is that who comes to the cliff and everybody jumps off? Who's that? Lemming. Is that where they get lemming pie? Oh, that's the is that where lemming pie comes from?
Lemming meringue.
Lemming meringue pie. Oh, I like that pie. Everybody else is doing it. Can everybody say amen to that?
Yes.
Everybody else is doing it. It can't be bad. It's helping me. And so, if we don't get thrown into the river, we sometimes volunteer and jump in ourselves. And we are in a river that we can't even, we're being dehydrated. Because we can't drink the river we're in. We're in a religious, idolatrous
situation where we need to drink the presence of the Spirit of the living God, we can't even deal with the dehydration because we can't get water into our system. We can't get the reality of the realness of the Spirit of the living God into us. And so we get weak. We're wet because we're in the river, but we're weak because the river is not in us. That's pretty good. Let me write that down. We're religious, but we're not strong. We're not quenched. We're doing church stuff, but it's not in here. It's not reaching inside because the river's so foul, so messed up. I know it's not our fault. We just followed everybody into the river. Then there was this little guy who was born. Mother said, "That's not happening to my son. I'm going to build a little craft, a little basket, and I'm going to put him where?" Where did this mother put little Moses? Into the river. For a possible chance to a trip to belt. Where did it go? She put her son into the same river, into the River Nile. She put her son into the very river that they were supposed to be thrown into. And the picture God has for us this morning is while the enemy wanted everybody thrown into the River Nile, the filthy, compromised River Nile, God wanted them drawn out. It shakes me because I used to hear these things, Pastor Harry, when I was a kid. "You're in the world, but you're not of the world." I said, "Yes, I am of the world. I want to be of the world." "Well, you're in the world, but you're not of the world." "I want to be in the world with the spiders and the snakes and the crocodiles and the mosquitoes. Boy, that's my kind of world." Amen. Where did Moses get his name? From God? From the princess. She named him Moses because the verb there means, "I have drawn him out of the river." I draw him out, and the word for that was Moses. Moses was drawn out of the very river that is so disgusting. So hurtful. I encourage us this morning to seek the face of God that we might find the face of God. Wherever God is, that's where we have to go. Whatever we do to bring the presence of God, to be in His presence, that's where we have to go. To be where He is. Moses grew up, and I will only say that, for the sake of time, Moses grew up, became a son of the princess, and went out to look at his Israeli brothers one day. He saw one of the Egyptians knock down one of the Israeli brothers, and Moses did this. The Bible says Moses looked to his left and to his right, and then he killed the man. Have you ever looked to your left and right and then done it anyhow? Moses thought he got away with it until the next day. A similar situation happened, and the guy said, "Are you going to kill me as well?" And Moses says, "Oh, boy, I've been found out." Got anything in your background that you don't want found out? Everybody says. Yes. And Harry laughs. We all do. You thought it was just you. We all do. The Bible says that Moses ran away and he stayed away. Out in the desert. And if you just fast forward the story enough, the story becomes a people of Israel were having so much problem that Bible says the Lord heard their cries. And so he says, I've got to rescue these people. And who did he choose to rescue the people that were under bondage? A murderer. Oh, come on. He not only chose Moses, he went looking for him in the desert. He went looking for Moses. Did he not bypass a lot of elders on the way to the edge of the desert? Where were all the leaders of the church? Where were all the good guys? Where were all of the people that hadn't done this horrible thing called murder? Couldn't God find anybody but Moses? That's my question. The answer evidently is no. He went and found someone on the very backside of the desert who was hiding out because he was destined to be executed. And God says to him, Moses, through the burning bush, said, I got an issue for you to deal with. And Moses says, you got the wrong guy. Don't you know why I'm out here? Don't you know that I have done these things? Why would you ask me? And God never answers that question. He just tells him what to do. God put the finger on Moses to do what? To go back and tell Pharaoh, let my people go, or I will bring you frogs. Exodus chapter 1, Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. Let my people go, or I will. What's so wrong about frogs? Well, a few frogs, nothing. Amen. A couple of frogs bouncing around out there, nothing. But when the frogs start piling up and piling up and piling up, they do begin to stink. All kinds of miserable stuff. The Holy Spirit not only drew Moses out of the water, but the Spirit of the living God came to Moses that he might draw his people out of bondage. I prayed 2 or 3 weeks ago that God help the needy leaders in church life. And I pray that same prayer today. I thought I was done with that message, but I'm not. So here we are again. I pray for people like myself who are needy, who stand in the body of Christ, and who are tempted to build obelisks. How do you say that? Oh, I'm sorry. That's close. Obelisks. Monuments to themselves and to their name. When I was in Rome 6 months ago, main dropper, yes. Only been there once. Every corner of that city has an obelisk. Every leader of that church over the years, they had to leave their name on something. They had to do something. And so the people labored, sold themselves, killed themselves so that they could have a city filled with obelisks. Have you been there? Have you seen them? It's true. Because the leaders of the church wanted to be remembered. It was important then that they be monumented, that there be a monumental remembrance of them. And they did it on the back of the people who they were supposed to serve. This morning, to this great big church of Bill and to the ships at sea, the Spirit of the Lord says, whether we like to hear it or not, let my people go. I said, God, can't I just speak on something else? No! I said, why? What are you picking on me for? I've been gone for a while. I have. I've been hiding out in Seattle. I didn't set any church records and attendance. Oh, in my little bus, I would sit and have 1,000 conversations with God. Boy, if I ever got back and preach, I'll tell you what I would do. I wouldn't be like this, that, or the other thing. Then I had 12 years of talking to God. You know what I'm saying? looking in the mirror, talking about 12 years of it. And 12 years of not listening to anybody else.
Brother, there is a safety in the abundance of counselors. That's right. But it depends on who you're listening to.
Right. It depends on who you're listening to. You. There can be sickness in the abundance of counselors. Sick, deep sickness. Where we have followed others into the slime of religious idolatry. Stirring up some kind of a smoothie. A little Jesus, a little this, a little that. Serve it up, put some whipped cream on top, and it'll sell. And it does. But it destroys the inner man. Because God says, I'm a jealous God, and you'll have no other gods before me. You can for a while. They don't perpetuate. What's wrong with that bush, horse? Why doesn't that... You're not so scary. Why doesn't that bush burn up? Moses, why doesn't it burn up? I don't know. I'm just using it as a prop. It's okay. This is ticking for a reason. So something bad happens when it ticks over. Boom! I'll be switched. Let my people go. Let the monument building end. Let my people come back and worship me in spirit and in truth. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how his brother Aaron said, I don't know, I just melted down the gold from everybody, and it got melted out, and I threw it in the fire, and I don't know what happened. Out come this calf. Yeah, you do know what happened. You created a god. You created a god other than the god. Moses, well, I couldn't help it. Moses wouldn't come down off the hill. I'm only human. I've used all those things. I couldn't help it. So you created a god that others worship. That's right. I delivered you from the Egyptians, and yet you want to worship this gold-laden calf. Coming down off the mountaintop, Joshua and Moses coming down the hill. Joshua, young man, says, hey, I can hear him. Listen, I can hear him. Something's going on. They sound excited. Moses says, it's not the excitement of war. It's not the excitement of defeat. It's the excitement of revelry. They're playing. They're having fun. Oh, sure. Now you're going to take fun away from us. No, I'm made for fun. You know what I'm saying? I am made for fun. I really can't stand to go to church if there isn't that sense of joy and fun there. My dance card's all filled up with that. I can say that because I never danced. Couldn't figure it out. The neediness of leadership to where we stand between God and our parishioners. And we don't funnel the worship to God. We take a piece of it ourselves for us. You remember? Peter went into Cornelius. That's where we left off a couple weeks ago. Cornelius fell down. And Peter could have done many, many, many things. But he said, don't worship me. Just get up. And again, that is my word from God to me, to you. Point the people towards the Spirit of the living God. Release the people from worshiping you. They really do that? Yes, can I tell you? They really do that. They really do it, Pastor Harry. They really do it, Pastor Joe. They really worship us because they can see us. And they can't see this God. They can call me up. I was telling somebody. somebody how people used to call at night. They'd call all night, late at night, because they got to sleep in the morning, and I had to go to work. That was convenient. Sir. This slime that is in the Nile comes from the ministry partaking of the people. I'll tell you what, as a worship leader, as a teacher, as a musician, as a preacher, as anything, we need to understand that God is a jealous God. And we need to point and release the people and set them free to worship God and not us. What about the power of men? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. And again, I return to that before we close. This power that is within people to be strong, to be forceful. The world is full of leaders like that. They're going to be strength for you. Don't worry about a thing. I will be strong for you. Just follow me. And then there's the people of power. Born beautiful. Born talented. They just get out of bed in the morning and people follow them. I want to be like Mikey. I want to be like you. I want to have what you have. How do you get what you got? Where do you go to get what you got? I want to be like you. A little bit, that's okay. I can understand people want to be like me. Thank you. That's a little loud on the laughter. Tone that down on the table. It is something that ministry has to do. You have to step back and say, this belongs to God. Harsh word coming up. Deep breath. Gary takes one. He's fighting a good fight. I'm not going to sleep. I have to say that. That was a long trip you guys made, wasn't it? I'm glad God protected you. You know what a eunuch is? It's a complex situation that I won't go into fully. Everybody says. The rest of you can go home and Google it. There is the bride, and there is the bridegroom. And there are the servants. And the trusted servants around the bride had been dealt with. Hallelujah. They had been dealt with that they would not go near the king's quarters and mess with what belonged to the king. That was his property. And they had been dealt with way back. First recorded one I see it way back in 21st century BC. We've got to find some people we can trust. We've got to find some people we can trust. So we're going to deal with them. That is what God is doing to the church, to the ministry right now. He is dealing with us. That we would let his people go. That we would let his people go, that we would let his people grow, that we would let his people sow into the kingdom of God and not our kingdom. And because of that, we would know who God is. The kingdoms of man have putrefied the presence of the Spirit of the living God.
Amen.
We're not here, but by the grace of God. We're here humbly asking God to sustain himself. That burning bush it's not a fad. If God's involved in it, it's not a fad. If God's involved in it, it doesn't burn out. The bush burned on and on, Moses. That's pretty interesting. Five loaves and two fish to feed all these people. And they said, he keeps breaking the bread. Where's the bread coming from? He keeps going over and over and over, not just for 20 people or for the 500 we have here today. But for 5,000. How can God do that? Because God doesn't get old. Amen?
Amen.
Neither does his bread. That's pretty good. God doesn't get old. His bread doesn't get old. He doesn't run out. Mary, what are you doing now? Jesus. I know we talked about this, but we're out of wine. Well, it's not my time. She says to the servants, you do what he says. What's that supposed to mean? That means she knew who Jesus was. She knew in her heart of hearts he could satisfy, he could fill. They would never be dry. Just do what Jesus says. The master of ceremonies says, I don't know about you guys, you saved the best wine till last. What do you think, they had just a little bit left over? No. How many baskets full were left over when they fed the 5,000? Sunday school people? 12! Well, how many bottles of wine do you think were left? There were a few. A good wine. Because that's the way God wants. That's the way. The genuine spirit of the Lord is not boring. He didn't get tiring. He didn't wear out. He didn't run down. He is. Genesis 15:1. He is our shield. He is our exceeding great reward. You mean it's not what we have posted on our refrigerator and all these different things going through our head? No! Nothing wrong with that. I've seen your refrigerator. Everything's on the refrigerator. There's nothing wrong with the gifts of God and the blessings on this world. What becomes wrong with it is that if they take the place of that, only he can fill in the believer's heart. Satisfy richly and deeply. And finally, Jesus had a hard walk and sat down by the well himself. Some lady comes by, and in that custom, evidently, he said, the Bible says he said, give me a drink of water. That would have gone with a big cup. Well, he said it. She said, why are you talking to me? Why, you don't even like Samaria. You disdain us. Why would you ask me that? He said, lady, if you knew who you were talking to, you would rejoice, because what I can give you is a drink of water that perpetuates forever and ever and ever and ever. It goes on and on and on and on and on. It's not religion. It's not idolatry. It's not a fad. It's not some gimmick. It's not a gadget. God delivers from gimmicks and gadgets. You can have no gadgets, no gimmicks, and still have no God. Amen? You can be as boring as they come and still not have God there. So it's not like, okay, if we get rid of everything, get rid of Gary's electric guitar, and let's see, what else can we get rid of? Who's hiding over here? Okay, I got the stick now, so watch out. It's not the gadgets, it's God that satisfies totally. This morning, the word of the Lord, hopefully for the last time, coming forward. Let my people go. Let them serve the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of man. Let them grow. Let them be able to grow. Let them be able to sow, and let them be able to know the fullness of who Christ is, his relation. Let them be able to be satisfied deep within. Moses said, I'm not the one. God didn't listen to him. This morning, God is speaking to you. And if we find ourselves saying, well, that's good, but that belongs to somebody else. No, that's for us. That's for you. That word's for you. That we have our hearts open, and that we be cleansed. The Spirit of the Lord is cleansing his body. He's clearing his body from the swamp that we have wiggled our way into the last many years. The Spirit of the Lord is drawing his body out of that swamp, out of idolatry, out of some version of Hollywood and what's the Dollywood? some concoction. Gary and I have looked at things, worship pattern and stuff that's going on. People trying to convince that it's the Spirit of the Living God. It is not the Spirit of the Living God. Some of the nonsense going on in the churches today is not the Spirit of the Living God. I don't care who says otherwise. The Word of God has been given to us that we might evaluate the activity and the actions that happen. God is clearing and he's cleansing, and he this morning is drawing us out of the slimy Nile that we may have found ourselves in. I pray that God gives us understanding to that end. Father, I ask you now in Jesus' name to cleanse our hearts, cleanse our minds, to cleanse our spirits. Give us an understanding of what it means to relate to a jealous God. Guide us back from the slime and the filthiness of man-made concoction smoothies that have caused your spirit to leave our fellowships. Cleanse our hearts and our souls. Lord God, I pray for myself. May I not be needy except for your word, well done, thou good and faithful servant. May I not need the stroking, the attention, the worship of parishioners. Heal my heart. Heal my mind. Let me desire you and you alone. Be my shield against the enemy who would come against me. Be my shield. Be my great reward. Every time I'm with you, let me say, as David said, it has been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Satisfy me richly, I pray, in Jesus' name. Let's close this service this morning singing what Renee's proclaimed. Jesus, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain, sing with me. Jesus, Jesus. Presence of the living God. Stand one more time.